companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habibullah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message, in which we discuss various different accounts from the Holy Quran, from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the lives of the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, and the Awliya Allah, in which it has left a timeless message for you and I, in order so that we may improve our lifestyle and become better human beings, become better believers and Muslimin. And today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very beautiful, insightful topic of discussion, and that is regarding advices to a son. Yes, this is what we are going to be discussing today. And what I mean by this, inshallah, as we journey through this episode, we are going to be understanding what we mean when we say advices to a son and who actually we are talking about. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who sends salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession, on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our most merciful creator, our most forgiving creator. And we send peace and salams and salutations upon the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, this act of sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an act that it grants you success, not only in this world, but in your qabr and in the hereafter as well. So always continue reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time also, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting you and I yet another opportunity, another beautiful day to spend in His obedience and to abstain from those acts which lead to His disobedience. So yes, make the most out of this day, value this day, value the time that you have on hands. And as I've mentioned earlier, that we are going to be discussing advices to a son. But before that, I want to narrate to you an incident wherein there was a four-year-old child. And this four-year-old child was from the Ahlul Bayt, from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day he was seen crying in the marketplace. So one person, he saw this child and he asked this child, "What's wrong? What's happening? Is there anything that you need?" The child began to cry even more and said that, "My heart is overwhelmed by the fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thoughts of the punishments in Jahannam." Now the person, he told the child that, "You're still so young, you such a young child, why are you so scared? I mean, don't you know that children will not be punished?" Now the child, this four-year-old child, became even more fearful and cried. And he said that, "I've seen small pieces of firewood used to burn large chunks of wood. And these small pieces, they burn quickly, and in sure, a fire starts in no time." That this four-year-old child says that, "I fear that I will be like this firewood used to burn people of the hellfire, like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Allahu Akbar. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, do you know who this four-year-old child was? This child was none other than a noble personality from the Ahlul Bayt, and that is Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah. Even as a child, Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah, he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. You know, nowadays a child of that age normally does not even know about himself, let alone anything else. I mean, when they grow a little, we put smartphones in their hands and have them watch cartoons, etc., which they eventually, they can't live without. Yet Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah, who is the beloved grandson of Imam Zainul Abideen radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Imam Muhammad Baqir rahimahullah, was absorbed in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right from his childhood. As we heard, he would cry and worry about being thrown into the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. And not only that, you know, this incident, it also highlights the excellent Islamic upbringing our pious predecessors would give to their children. And this is what led to Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at such a young age. I mean, it was so impactful that others would begin to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just from seeing how much fear Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah had. Now, it's related that it's mentioned Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahmatullah alayh, he would go to the graveyard, he would enter it at night, and he would say, "Oh, people of the grave, why don't you respond when I call out to you?" He says that sadly a veil has been placed between you and I, but I shall soon be like you. And he would continue saying this until morning would set in, whereupon he would eventually leave to perform Fajr Salah in the masjid. Now, Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah, he had many, many amazing characteristics. You know, his extensive acts of worship, his spiritual striving, his abstinence, piety, kindness, and his wisdom, his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his religious knowledge were of the highest caliber. And to give you a bit of a brief introduction, he was Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah. He was born in the city of Madinatul Munawwara on a Monday, the 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Subhanallah, his technonyms, they are Abu Abdullah and Abu Ismail, whilst his titles, they are As-Sadiq, Al-Fadil, Al-Tahir. And he was the eldest son of Imam Muhammad Al-Baqir rahimahullah. His mother was Umm Farwa rahmatullah alayha, and she was the granddaughter of the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His grandfather from his father's side was Imam Zainul Abideen radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And that means he descends from Sayyidina Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from his mother's side, and from Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from his father's side. And this renders him a Siddiqi, an Alawi, and a Fatimi. Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi is a Sayyid, and he is a Sheikh in the Qadri spiritual order as well. And he's from the progeny of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and a fragrant flower of the Ahlul Bayt. And you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once said that nobody becomes a perfect believer unless they prioritize me over their own souls, unless they love me more than themselves, unless they love my offspring more than their own, unless they love me more than they love themselves, and unless they love my Ahlul Bayt more than their household. Allahu Akbar. This is how our love must be for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahmatullah alayhi, he was a person of nobility, a person of humbleness, a person of immense knowledge. You know, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who himself is an ocean of knowledge, he took so much of benefit and knowledge from spending 2 years studying with Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, whose real name was Nu'man bin Thabit, he said that lawla sanatan lahalaka Nu'man, that if it were not for these 2 years, Nu'man would have been destroyed. Allahu Akbar. That shows how much of knowledge and spirituality Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah had. And subhanallah, he was a physical embodiment of the beautiful teachings given to him by his beloved parents, which he then conveyed to his own children. And this resulted in his son, Imam Musa Kadhim rahimahullah, becoming a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming a renowned sheikh, and becoming a renowned scholar as well. Remember that, you know, there's a saying, you reap what you sow. If you plant a specific thing, it does not grow into something unexpected. In other words, if you do not give your children Islamic education, you cannot then expect them to become obedient, to become pious or respectable members of society. You know, when we do not raise our children properly and still expect good from them, by the time we realize it, it's already too late. Even if parents try to rectify their children then, they would find themselves unable to do so. So raising children properly is an important responsibility parents have. And our pious predecessors, they took this responsibility seriously. Yes, and they carried it out in a virtuous way. They offered various forms of advice to their children from time to time. Now we are going to listen and see what beautiful advices Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah gave to his son. And Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah, he tells his son that, oh my beloved son, take on my advice and remember my words. If you do this, your life will go well, your life is going to pass well, and your death, it will be admired. Now the first advice that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah gave to his son, it was, my dear son, the wealthy person is he who is satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed. Whoever keeps his eye upon the wealth of others will die poor. As for someone who is not pleased with what Allah ta'ala gave, it is as though he faults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions. And whoever considers his own mistakes to be small, considers the mistakes of others to be immense. Whoever considers his mistakes as immense, considers the mistakes of others to be small. What a beautiful nasiha, what a beautiful piece of advice he has given to his son. And this advice, it teaches us to develop contentment and satisfaction with what we have been granted, and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us, we should be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this year, it's not only for sons, it's for daughters as well. It's for children, for our children. It's an advice for each and every one of us. Whether you are a parent, whether you are a child, whether whoever you may be, it is for each and every one of us. And from this, we see so many beautiful gems we can take from this. One is qana'ah, contentment, being content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. Otherwise, if a person is not content with what they have, they are going to have endless problems, viewers of Madani Channel, endless problems. Where there is no problem, a problem will arise unnecessarily due to not being content. We have to realize that if we see someone who is rich, someone who is wealthy, that shouldn't break our hearts, that shouldn't shatter us and put us right down. Because whether if a person is rich Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the rich person as well. If a person is poor, that person will also be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one of us, we are in our own lane being tested in different ways, in different forms. No one can say that because a person is rich, that their life is all a bed of roses, that their life is just a walk in the park. No one can really say that because you don't know what they're going through, the difficulties they're going through. They may be, you know, living in the best of houses. They may be driving the best of cars. They may be having a good bank balance, but you don't really know the inside stories. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. And same can go for the poor person. We are not there to judge anyone's state. That is not our duty. What we have to do is be content in whichever state that we are in. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us, we need to be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with all of that, most importantly, is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you and I, we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages our affairs for us. We don't see that. We don't realize that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages our affairs for you and I. So shouldn't it be that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Shouldn't it be that even in times of difficulties, even in the downs of life, we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal, that all praises are due to you, O Allah, upon every single state that I may be in. If you are sick, if you are in hospital, if you are going through a financial crisis, if you are going through marital issues, if you are going through whatever problems in life, always remember that by you thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you, that one act will take you so far in life and remove all of your problems, remove all of your difficulties, that you'd be surprised as to how everything is just falling into place. And that boils down to a person having contentment, a person having tawakkul, placing the absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person has this, a person has everything. Wealth wouldn't matter anymore. Going here, there, driving the best of cars, living in the fancy house, whatever, it wouldn't matter anymore, because the greatest treasure a person can have is what? Is contentment, which money can't buy. The greatest wealth a person can have is trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which money can't buy. The greatest wealth a person can have is to make shukr to Allah, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which money can't buy. If a person doesn't have all of these things, all of these beautiful qualities, and they may suppose they have the money, you wouldn't see peace in their life. You wouldn't see tranquility in their hearts. You wouldn't see nothing. You would always find them to be restless. You would always find them, you know, wanting to make more bucks, wanting to make more money, wanting to accumulate. And they would be stressed about this so much so that times, you know, they wouldn't be able to sleep at night. They would be taking these antidepressant pills, sleeping pills, so that they could have a good night's rest. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you to have a peaceful sleep. That is a ni'mah. That is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon that, we should be grateful. We should be content with what we have. Because all of these are priceless deeds of Madani Channel. So take this beautiful advice from Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah that he gave to his son, in which he teaches you and I to be content and to be satisfied with what we have been granted. So that was the first advice that he gave to his son. The second advice he gave to his son was, he says that whoever reveals the faults of others has his own faults exposed. And whoever digs a hole for others falls into it himself. Being around foolish people, it makes one lowly and disgraced. As for whoever spends time with scholars, he finds himself honored and esteemed. And whoever goes to evil places is labeled with accusations. So the views of Madani Channel, this teaches us a wonderful, wonderful pearl of wisdom. That is, that we should not reveal the faults of others. We should desire, we should wish and only want good for others. And we should make effort to be in the company of Islamic scholars. You know, nowadays, may get a lot of people going around town and saying that this person is like that, that person is like this, mother-in-law is like that, daughter-in-law is like this, father-in-law is like that, son-in-law is like this, and so much more, that everyone just wants to use the energy that they have into exposing the faults of others, as if, you know, they get some sort of a dopamine hit that today I'm going to wake up and my job is I'm going to go around and I'm going to expose the faults of people. And you, in today's time and age, you do get that, where people have nothing else to do besides exposing the faults of other people. I mean, you and I, we wouldn't like anyone exposing our faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers our sins. When we sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is As-Sattar, the one who conceals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers our sins. So how is it such that we go around and we expose the faults of other people, the mistakes of other people? Remember, by you doing that, as Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah, he said that a person is only digging a hole for themselves. They think it's for others, but they themselves are going to fall into that same hole. And we do not want that. So we need to keep the faults of others hidden, and we should wish good for others, wish well for others, be a well-wisher. And from this advice that he has given, very important is to be in the company of Islamic scholars. Because the greatest treasure that you could ever acquire in this world is knowledge. It is knowledge of deen, it is beneficial knowledge. Because what knowledge can do, money can't do, wealth can't do. Knowledge can take you so high that wealth doesn't even stand a chance. So be in the company of pious Islamic scholars. Go there. What you'll gain so much of lessons, what you gain from them, you wouldn't be able to gain it from books that you read. Because this is direct. And by being in their company, and, you know, taking advice from them, serving them, helping them, your life would actually turn out to be so much better, that you would be so spiritually uplifted. Even if you may be wealthy, you would not have greed. Because they would teach you not to have any attachment to this world. They would teach you not to have love for this dunya, not to have love for this world. They would teach you to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would teach you to donate generously. This is how a person can attain piety, that you spend that which you love the most, that which you love for yourself, you spend that. You know, it's not the quantity that matters, it's the quality that matters. It's a matter of your sincerity. That is what matters, not about you showing six digits that you're giving, or however many digits. It's not about that there. It's about your sincerity, your ikhlas in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your intention that, you know what, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by being in the company of Islamic scholars, this is what a person attains. A person can even attain taqwa. A person can attain piety just by sitting in the company of ulama, in the company of Islamic scholars. Because in there, what is being taught? The teachings of the Holy Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of the Ahlul Bayt, the love of the companions alayhim ridwan, the love of the awliya Allah. They would teach you how to purify your outer self, how to purify your inner self. how to suppress your nafs, how to remove evil qualities like jealousy, hatred, malice, holding grudges, and all of these evil qualities. They will teach you how to remove it from your heart. And this is the blessing of being in good company. Even if a person may be somewhat bad, and he comes into the company of a pious Islamic scholar, sooner or later, or even at that moment and time, the person's life will change because of the effect that good company has. And on the other hand, bad company, no matter how good a person may think they are, or how confident they may be by saying that, you know what, I am a good person. Yes, the company may be bad, but I don't involve myself in the activities. I only chill out with them. But I do not indulge myself in any of the activities. Sooner or later, it's going to rub on you. The effect of that bad company is going to have an impact in your life. And whether you like it or not, you're going to end up indulging in those activities. It's not about confidence, it's about the effect that the type of company you keep has on a person. Like, you know, there's a famous saying, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And a person can be identified so easily whether they are good or whether they are bad, just by seeing who your friends are, the type of company that you keep. Keep the company of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you would see positivity in your life. There would be no room for negativity. Wherever you look, you would see positivity. Whatever you speak, it would be positive. Whatever you hear, you take it in a positive light. Compared to being in bad company, wherein you take everything in a negative way. You'll see negative, speak negative, listen to negative. Everything will be too dark. Everything will be too negative. And none of us want that negative energy in our life. We all want this, you know, brightness. We all want this fresh, positive feeling in our life and with others as well. And for that, we need to adopt the company that is good, especially the company of the ulama, the pious ulama, the pious Islamic scholars. So that was the second beautiful advice that he has given to his son. And we move on to the third advice, in which he said that do not accuse people or they shall accuse you. Say, save yourself from useless speech or your honor will decrease. Now here, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this teaches us to look at our own shortcomings. Rather than, you know, trying to find them in others, we should focus on correcting ourselves, rectifying ourselves, and refrain from useless speech. What would you gain by looking at the shortcomings of others? Your whole time would be wasted. You're not going to gain anything except your ego and your nafs would be satisfied, which is absolutely absurd, which is absolutely wrong. It shouldn't be that way. Focus on your own self. When you do that same energy you put on yourself to correct yourself, to improve yourself, that would be using time wisely. Because there's so many things involved here. One is time wastage by looking at the shortcomings of others. And here, you are investing in your own self by using the same time to correct yourself. And we all want to be better human beings. We all want to improve, to be better Muslims. So we need to rectify ourselves first and refrain from useless speech, refrain from useless talk. So this was the third advice that he has given, Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah has given to his beloved son. And we move further, we see the fourth advice that Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah gave was that speak the truth, whether for or against you. You shall otherwise face criticism from your own friends. leaves of Madani channel. Yes, some people may find it that the truth is something hard to do, and some are afraid of speaking the truth, of saying that which is true. But remember that the truth is something that always, always prevails. The truth always wins, the truth always prevails. As we see through history, history testifies to this fact that the truth always prevails. And falsehood, lies, it never, it always fails. So in accordance with, you know, Sharia, with Islamic law, we must always speak the truth no matter what. Even if it's bitter, still speak the truth, because the truth is something that will actually set you free, you know, emotionally, mentally. It will set you free. You would feel so much lighter when the truth is out. Yes, it may be a very, very, very bitter pill, but the end will be sweet. And you'd enjoy it. You'd feel much, much lighter when we learn to speak the truth. And the fifth advice that Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah gave was that, he says, my son, I urge you to recite the Holy Quran, to spread the greeting of Salam, to call for good, to forbid from evil, and mend ties with those who break them with you. If someone does not speak with you, go forward and speak to them first. Give to whoever asks something from you. And he says further that, ensure to save yourself from tale-bearing, as this brings hatred into the hearts. Do not search for faults in others, because this is like making yourself a target of criticism and abuse. Allahu Akbar, what beautiful words, what a beautiful nasiha he has given to his son, that to always recite the Holy Quran. He is from the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is so much of benefits, there is so much of rewards when a person recites the Holy Quran. You know, even a person's eyesight, it actually improves when they look at the Holy Quran. For each and every single letter that a person recites, a person gets rewarded 10 virtues. As per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine you reading at least one page, just one page. Of course, if a person can read more, then by all means. Every day, if a person just has to read one page of the Holy Quran, imagine how much of thawab, how much of reward there will be for that person. The Holy Quran will intercede for its reciter on the day of Qiyamah. The Holy Quran will even help the person in their qabr, in their grave. So recite the Holy Quran, because it will intercede for its reciter on the day of Qiyamah. And the other advice that Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah has given was to spread the greeting of Salam. We all want unity, we all want love within our families, within our society, our friend circle, our colleagues at work. We all want that unity and that love and muhabbah. How do we do that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told you and I to spread Salam. Make salam to one another. You passing by a fellow Muslim and they didn't make salam to you, that doesn't mean you don't make salam to them. You be the first. You be the first, take the first step and make salam to them. This will foster love and harmony between two Muslims. Even when you're entering your home, you want to be barakah in your home, blessings in your home, prosperity and happiness in your home. As soon as you enter your home, you enter with your right foot, you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If there's no one in the home, then you send salams upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there are family members in the home, you greet them as well. You recite Suratul Ikhlas. And due to that, a person would have barakah, and a person will be saved from having disputes in their home, from having family issues in their home. And what does it cost you? It only takes you just a minute, maybe even under a minute, to do all of these And for you, you got prosperity, you have barakah in your home. How hard could that be? It's just for us to take that first step. And he also mentioned to enjoin that which is good, call others towards goodness, forbid others from evil, and mend ties with those who break them with you. Even if whether you are wrong, whether you are right, you be the first and you go and mend those ties, because we aren't like scissors where we cut everything up. We must be like a needle and thread where we join. That is how a believer must be, to join ties. Someone doesn't give you anything, you go give them. Someone doesn't want to talk to you, you go talk to them. One who deprives you, you give to them, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, has told you and I. And all of this, it does what? It betters our life. With all of these advices, let us pause and reflect upon all of these advices that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah has given to his beloved son. If we, you know, implement everything discussed, we will find ourselves living amazingly beautiful, peaceful, blissful lives. Yet remember that this will only actually happen when we take this priceless wisdom and beautiful principles and practically implement them into our lives. So we must try our absolute best to see the results. It all starts with action. That was the fifth advice. And the sixth advice that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq rahimahullah gave his son was that if you wish to meet anyone, meet with the pious. Whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a rock from which water does not flow, a tree with no greenery, or ground upon which grass does not grow. So all of these advices, Jeeves of Madani Channel, it is, as I've mentioned in the beginning, it is for each and every one of us to take heed of, to implement it, and also to give to our children as well. Well, as of now, Jeeves of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam, a melodious kalam, in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this beautiful kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much more into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa jaane rahmat, shama'e bazme hidayat sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ka farmane alishan hai ki jo koi shakhs mujh par ek baar durood e paak padhe, اللہ عز و جل اس پر اپنی 10 رحمتیں نازل فرماتا ہے، اس کے 10 گناہوں کو مٹاتا ہے اور اس کے 10 درجات کو بلند فرماتا ہے۔ آج جو کلام آپ سننے جا رہے ہیں، اس میں آپ کو بار بار درود پاک پڑھنے کا موقع ملے گا۔ آئیے نعت رسول مقبول بھی سنیے اور درود پاک کے ورد میں شامل ہو جائیے۔
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہے، سیدھی راہ دکھاتے یہ ہیں۔
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
جلتی جانے بجھاتے یہ ہیں، جلتی جانے بجھاتے یہ ہیں، روتی آنکھیں ہنساتے یہ ہیں۔ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
قصرِ دنا تک کس کی رسائی، قصرِ دنا تک کس کی رسائی، جا جاتے یہ ہیں آتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو آگ میں باغ کھلاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
انا اعطیناک الکوثر انا اعطیناک الکوثر ساری کثرت پاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے، ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے، آ آ کہہ کے بلاتے، یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا، ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا، پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے، یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے، سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے، پل پر ہم کو چلاتے، یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ، کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ، مژدہ رضا کا سناتے، یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم،
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ، what a beautiful کلام in the praises of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، recited very beautifully by our beloved رکن شورا حاج عبد الحبیب عطاری حفظہ اللہ تعالی۔ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آمین یا رب العالمین۔ الحمدللہ، coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing advices to a son. And by now I'm sure that we were mentioning the beautiful advices that were given by Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah to his beloved son Imam Musa Al-Kadhim rahimahullah. And there was so many beautiful Madani pearls, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And all these advices, as I've mentioned earlier, that it's for each and every one of us, right? And from this we see that if we want our children to be good Muslims, we must give them an Islamic upbringing. We must help them the way our pious predecessors aided and helped their children. We must guide them to goodness and become pious ourselves in the process. You know, children, usually they take on the habits and characteristics of their parents. Parents follow the Sharia and strive to learn Islamic knowledge, the children, they will do the same. And this leads to what? This leads to the parents earning widespread respect and earning forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the parents have bad habits, they pass these habits onto their children. Instead of leading to their salvation, the children become a means of their destruction. Now, how should one raise their children? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, he actually, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran, which is, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that save yourselves and your families from the fire. The companions, alayhim ridwan, they heard this and they asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can we save our families from the fire? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, tell them to do what Allah ta'ala likes and forbid them from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, teach your children three qualities. Number one, love for your Prophet, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for his family, the Ahlul Bayt, and love for the recital of the Holy Quran. Inculcate these in your children, embed it in your children. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and no father gave his children a better gift than good manners. Now here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he says very beautifully, the summary of what he says is that good manners here refer to making your child pious. What could be a better gift for children from their parents that helps them in both religious and worldly matters? Now, parents should make sure not to leave this world having just made the children wealthy. They should make them religious and pious, as this will help them in their qabr, in their graves. And the reward of good deeds performed by living children reaches the deceased parents in their graves. So the views of Madani Channel, the Quran and Hadith, they greatly explain the high rank held by parents. Children must treat their parents with nothing but goodness, kindness, and impeccable manners. They must respect their parents and consider serving them to be an honor for themselves. When parents reach old age, they should be served even more because they need it now more than ever. Parents becoming elderly can be a testing time, leading to many children becoming tired of looking after them. Yet, serving your parents is a must even at that time. Remember that it is the same parents that did not get tired of looking after their children. And due to old age or illness, no matter how irritable and harsh parents may be, no matter how much they use stern words, no matter how much they quarrel and make you anxious, you must be nothing but patient, patient, and patient. You must show them respect no matter what, let alone being disrespectful or shouting. We cannot even say, ugh, to them. If we do, then we may suffer irreplaceable loss and steep failure in both worlds. Whoever hurts their parents is disgraced in this world and punished in the hereafter. The Holy Quran teaches us not to say uff to our parents, nor to scold them. Allahu Akbar. So it's important, the views of Madani Channel, that, you know, by listening to these beautiful advices of Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq rahimahullah, we too, we should give advice to our children. And psychologists say that there are certain times wherein when you say something, when you give advice to your children, they take into it. One is at the dining table. When all of you all are eating, you advise your children. Instead of sitting on the phone, you tell your children some story, Islamic story, some Islamic history, some seerah. Stories from the Holy Quran, tell them the lessons from there. They will internalize that. That's one time. The other time is before going to bed, as we call it, bedtime stories. But here, not just any fairy tale story, right? Bedtime stories as in stories from the Holy Quran, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stories that can better their life. And the third time is, when you are on a journey, when you all are traveling together. Because at these three times, children are alert and children are attentive. So make sure that we too as parents, we advise our children to do that which is good according to the teachings of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we too should become pious in the process as well, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.